Good morning again.
Good morning.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Boy, what a blessing it is that like half of our congregation is children. I just noticed for church being a church, we wouldn't come by half. That's a good thing, because if there's not crying, the church is dying, right? So let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, we praise you for the story of the resurrection, the witnesses of the apostles, and of course the work of your Son, and what that means for us, Lord. God, strengthen our faith today through your word, and Lord, may we leave this place apart from here filled with joy, gladness, and faith that our lives truly are not in vain, but they have purpose and meaning, and that our life is now eternal because of your Son. Food. It's a pretty significant part of our life, right? In fact, if you are being wise, you're taking time to eat, at least 3 meals a day? And some doctors will even say you're supposed to actually break it up and have 5 meals and keep the calorie, keep the oven of your stomach going. And have the calories burned all day, or you're supposed to now fast and eat 8 hours, right? What is that called again? Intermittent fasting. Maybe I tried that for a while and it didn't take. We work hard. Much of our life is filled with work and toil to get food on the table, to have a roof over our head, to provide for our children, to have clothes on our back, to get the transportation so that you can get to work and then get to the store and get that food on the table, right? We live to eat, and we eat to live, right?
Both are true, and it's a key part of life. And in fact, food was at the center of the garden. The command that the Lord gave to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. And God said you could eat from the fruit of the tree of the garden. Any tree, right? Any tree. The fruit is yours to eat from. Except for one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat the fruit from that tree, or you will surely die. Right? So food was there at the very beginning in the garden. We were meant, as God's living people, to taste and to see the Lord is good. To eat food, to consume food as part of our living. Right? That was always part of it. And so, this is why today's sermon focuses on the verse where Jesus, appearing to his disciples, says, "Have you anything here to eat?" And we are in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, who the disciples? They were talking about Jesus appearing to Peter, and talking about Jesus appearing to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and talking about the women's testimony that they saw Jesus alive at the tomb, and saw the angel, and heard the angel say, "Christ is not here, but he is risen." And as they're talking about these things, Jesus comes and stands among them. It says, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, for they thought they saw a spirit. This is actually a very consistent thing. They were frightened and thought they saw a spirit when Jesus was walking on the water. And they didn't have peace about that. They were afraid until they heard Jesus say, "Fear not, it is I." Or what I believe they heard, "Fear not, I am." That's what it's because it's an AYME in the Greek, which could literally be translated, "I am." Jesus could easily be proclaiming that just as God proclaimed in the bush, I am Yahweh. So they thought they saw a spirit. But Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Touch me and see. For the spirit does not have flesh in. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So yes, Jesus is physically there. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Right? Still bearing the holes. Showing that he is crucified. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate them already in the end. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, so it's kind of like that time when something exciting happens in your life, and you're just like, wow, this is so unbelievable. This is amazing, right? Well, Jesus, so that's what the disciples are going through. They have joy. It's like, it's real, it's got to be true, but this is just shocking, it's amazing, this is just too good to be true. And so Jesus says, have you anything here to eat? He takes a piece of broiled fish and he eats it right in front of them, demonstrating that he is indeed alive. On the first Sunday of Easter, we focused on the Gospel of Mark. And the focus was that it took the divine God to defeat death. Something truly amazingly divine happened at the tomb. And when something divine happens, people feel the fear and awe and reverence of God in that place. And that's why the women at the tomb left trembling because something divine had taken place. We talked about the divinity of Jesus to conquer death. Today, we focus on more of the human part of Jesus and what this means for us and humanity. Jesus eating a fish. He's not just God alone, but he's still a man. In fact, he's going to be a man still when we dwell with him. And yet, still God. For the dwelling place of God is man. Jesus is alive and human. And what do humans do? We eat. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus goes into a town and he's met by a man named Jairus. And Jairus, he's a humble man who serves God. Temple, and yet he's very, very, or at the synagogue, he's very, very troubled because his daughter is sick and dying. And Jesus goes and follows. Of course, on the way, Jesus gets delayed because there's a woman who for 14 years had a bleed that just would not stop. And she reached out and touched his robes and was healed instantly. And of course, Jesus feels the power shoot out from him, and he turns around and he's trying to say, who touched my robe? Who touched my robe? And of course, fear and trembling comes over the woman, and the woman says, it's me. And Jesus says, go, for your faith has made you well. But in the meantime, somebody comes, and Jesus was distracted, and says, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. But Jesus still says, have hope, take heart. And he takes Peter, James, and John with him, and he goes inside the house. And there inside the house are a bunch of people who are grieving and mourning the death of this 14-year-old girl who tragically died. Because death is a tragic thing, right? It's a painful thing. And yet Jesus says to them, are you weeping? This child is not dead, but asleep. And what happens? Everybody begins to mock Jesus. This child's dead, not asleep. But Jesus goes to the bedside, grabs the little girl's hand, and says, in a very loving, gentle way, "Little girl, I say to you, dead." And the little girl gets up and is alive. And you know what Jesus said to do to the mom and dad, to Jairus and his wife? "Give the little girl something to eat. Because she is alive." Guess what? How many of you like food? There's some smiles on your face. Everybody likes food. Guess what? Food isn't going to go away. Food is going to always be a part of our life. I don't know if our resurrection bodies are going to need food, but because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and it was good, and Jesus came not to just save us out of the world, but he came to redeem the whole world. And he came to redeem the whole world for us because we are the crown jewel of his creation. He drew Adam out of the very dirt of this earth. Because he said, because in his mind, he was, "I'm going to give this earth to the crown jewel of my whole entire creation, the whole universe, that is going to have dominion over this world." And he pulled Adam out of the ground. And you know what Adam means in Hebrew? Earth, or dirt, or ground. So if you have a friend named Adam, you can call him Dirty. "Hey, Dirty, what's up, man?" No, he might slug you for that. But Adam means dirt, or ground. And he gave us food to eat and to enjoy. Now, at the fall, one of the things that God told Adam is you're going to have to work hard. It's going to be a grind. You're going to suffer, and you're going to struggle to work this ground and to get your food. And even though we're not farmers, boy, I can tell you, it's a grind still, right? Life is a grind, and we're so busy. We struggle to have that heart of Mary who sits at the feet and worships Jesus because we're so busy working like Martha, trying to get everything done in our life. Because bills have to be paid. Chores need to be done and finished. And we have to work hard to prepare that dinner. You know what's sad? Certain meals can take a whole entire day to eat. And yet, or to make. And yet, it takes only 5 minutes to eat them. And you're just done. On to the next thing. Right? I think God meant for meals to be slower. So that we can actually taste and enjoy those things. In Revelation, it says that the tree of life will be there and will always be in season. Meaning that, again, there's going to be food. It's described there's going to be a marriage feast of the Lamb. What is a feast? Food involved. We're going to feast. We're going to eat. But the difference is that we won't have to toil for it. I know, there's still that. Joel, Pastor, you're getting all of this from Jesus eating a fish? Yes! Because God is renewing not just creation, but he's renewing all of humanity. And it was good in the beginning, and it's going to be better again. Yes, it's going to be a struggle, but the struggle is not in vain. We work hard and we toil now. And in our toil, we get frustrated and we sin and we fall short. And then we feel guilty on top of that toil. And yet, Christ died to remove our sin and to take away all guilt and to show his great love and mercy for you and for me. And he rose again, promising a newness to life. I know that when you leave this two doors, there's going to be husbands and wives who love each other very deeply, and yet they're going to bicker over things. There's going to be children who parents love so dearly, and yet those children are going to frustrate those parents. there's going to be, while this is supposed to be a day of rest, there's going to be a little bit of stress towards the end there as people think about, man, I have to return to the office tomorrow to go back to work. The grind is going to continue. Not to mention, I'm going to check in on take care of it, or, if I'm going to have a doctor's appointment, I have to fast for a blood test or something this week, or so, you know, just whatever. Right? All the things that have to get done. Regardless, though, of what life brings your way, regardless of how you feel in each and every single moment, the truth is this: God became man, and as that man, God conquered death and rose again. And we cannot deny what the witnesses saw and beheld, what the witnesses touched. As St. John put it, we are witnesses. We have seen these things. We have touched these very things. They saw with their eyes Jesus appear. They felt with their hands and touched him. And they gave him something to eat. It's not in vain. There's a purpose. And there's life after this hard, toilsome life that we live in. There's new life where all things accursed will be gone. And the leaves from the tree of life will be for the healing of all nations. Because Christ has called people out of all nations to believe in him. Because he's not just the King of the Jews alone. He's the King of the universe. And in this universe, this world seems to be the crown jewel of it all. And we, the humans, are the crown jewel of this world. Because Christ felt it worth it that while we were sinners, he who knew no sin became sin on that cross. Take our place to die so that we would become righteous in the eyes of his Father, and so that we would have life in his name. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah, yes. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And it is this joy and this truth that allows us to persevere through this world. No matter what comes, God is with us. God is for us. God has conquered our sin, removed the sting of sin. He has forgiven us. He has conquered Satan. And he has conquered death. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but I do know that for each and every one of us who believe, there's an empty grave at the resurrection of the dead. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.